And it's a beautiful day out there and a wonderful day in the Lord.
Amen.
A couple things I want to mention. There's quite a few here this morning. For some reason, they keep piling up. People say, would you talk about this? Would you talk about that? One thing Pastor gave me was this LifeWise with the youth of the West Jefferson. If you have any interest in that and you haven't signed up, please sign one of these up and get them back to them so they can contact you and you could be a part of that program where they're going to try to have church-type activity or youth activity. Christian is a better way to put it. Christian activity for youth in the school system. So if you want to be a part of that, pick one of these up, sign it, and put it back there. Second thing is, there is a program we have here, I've had it for the last couple of years, called Crop and Craft. Now, Crop and Craft is generally the ladies, and they come, it's not have to be ladies, but it's just generally ladies, and they do all kinds of crafts and different things on scrapbooking and whatever. They take over the church for 2 days. They fellowship with one another. They work on their crafts together. We generally have people. We need people to set that up. We need people to help carry their equipment in because they bring in all kinds of equipment. And that's going to be something to get with either my wife Kathy or with Heather. If you can help with that, and let them know what you can do and they'll let you know what you can do to help. Now you might ask, why do we do these sorts of things? Why do we invite people into our church, and it's not a church activity or whatever? Well, they're called side door ministries. Everybody doesn't walk into your church on Sunday morning. You know, sometimes they only come in on a day that's another activity other than church. And so we do have some activities that aren't what we would call a church service or a church related activity, but they bring people into the building, and by doing that we also hope to bring them into the influence of a Christian influence, so they can see. So crafting that, enough of that one, but that's an Easter egg hunt. If you'd like to be a part of the Easter egg hunt, it's another one of those things we're going to have. It's an activity we hope to have for the whole, as many people, not only our church family, but others that would be involved or being interested. And that would be a meeting this Thursday at 7:30. That would be after choir. So if you'd like, we can do that so the choir people can, they're already be here. So if you'd like to be a part of the Easter egg hunt and part of that activity and give us some help on that, 7:30 this Thursday after choir practice. We would like to have a game night. The spring is coming, everybody. Spring is just around the corner. Groundhog told us so. Game night we right now have like to schedule for the 19th of March. That's a Saturday night, starting at 6:00. It's just bring your own stack and bring the game you like to play best, and we sit around and we just enjoy each other's company, and we're going to have a game night that night. So that's an activity we hope you'll be a part of, along with our regular worship activities. Ladies' prayer breakfast will be this Tuesday, and Judy Shoup can tell you more about that if you have questions. Prayer meeting will be Wednesday at 12 noon, and then choir practice at 6:30. So there's a lot of activities happening starting this week or being part of this week. So make sure you keep your bulletin, look at it, and use it. One thing I want to say today also, this morning our governor, Governor DeWine, declared a state day of prayer for the people in Ukraine. And so I think it would be well that we take a few moments and remember what's happening over there. We're experiencing peace in this country and joy, but they're facing a lot of things. They've been invaded. They're a democratic type government. who, from all that I can see, has a strong faith in God. And so they have been invaded, and there are people dying today as we speak. And so I'd like to remember them in a brief moment of prayer before we continue on. So if you'll bow your heads with me. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you, we know that you're a mighty God. We know that you're able. We know that you love your people. We know that when people bow down before you, you hear and you listen and you help. You're a God of mercy and a God of help. Heavenly Father, we pray for these people in this country of Ukraine as they have been invaded by those that would seek to change their democracy into something lesser, Lord. That they would take their lands, Lord. We understand, Lord, the power that is in your hand. We've seen it played out when Israel was attacked so many years ago, and you left a wasteland, all those tanks that would cause them harm. We ask, Lord, that your precious hand be upon the people of Ukraine, that they be protected, that your mercies abound over that area of the world, that those that are provoking, Lord, that their mind and their heart is changed, and that somehow another peace can be regained in that portion of the world. It's a very volatile situation. We understand how things could escalate into something much larger. But we pray, Heavenly Father, that your hand squelches this thing, that your people are triumphant, and that God's will be done in a place, Lord, that people are praying very fervently for your help and for your mercy and for your tender, loving care. So we hold them up. We lift them up in your name, the precious name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, I'm going to ask if our mission president will come forward and tell us about our mission program. Roxanne Finley.
Good morning. Good morning. I get to talk to you about Philippians 2 today. And Philippians 2 is in a book in the Philippians is a book in the Bible written by Paul. And I'm going to read to you this morning the first five verses. And I encourage you on your own to read the rest of the chapter. I think you'll really find it interesting. It says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose. And I just wanted to share with you that that's exactly what Life in Christ did. The last few weeks we've been collecting items that we have had out there on the display board that Kathy Harless made for us, telling what the people who are a part of Philippians 2 here in Columbus might need. There are clothing items in here and healthcare items, some food, some candy, some treats. And we were able to package 43 bags just like this. They're stuffed to the gills. And then there was also a couple of bags of clothing, a brand new coat, shoes, some money that we were able to purchase, some other items that they might need as well. Philippians 2 is a small organization that's right here in our community. If you go on down on Broad Street, it's probably 2 or 3 miles. There's a used car dealership there, and that's run by a family. And this family goes out and serves the people who are less fortunate than us that live on tents downtown close to the Scioto River. And this winter, as all winters, are hard for them especially, but this winter was a rough winter. So I know that I just want to thank you for the missions team. You were supportive as usual, and serving the people that are our brothers and sisters. And there's also a New Testament in each of the bags, and our prayers, if you continue to pray for them as well as all the other prayer requests we've asked for, to pray for them that they will read the scriptures and come to love Christ. And again, thank you so much for all that you do in serving others. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I will do my best. I was a little ill this morning with this unborn child. I have to confess, I was crying pretty hard last night. I saw a video of a father putting his daughter on a bus last night in Ukraine, and I thank you for that time, Russ, of prayer. We are sitting in our place of worship comfortably, and these people are singing and praying in subways and taking up arms to defend their country. And we sing for them this morning. We invite the presence of God this morning. And I just ask that you stand and sing with me to the best of my ability. Thank you, guys. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I'll stand. Thank you. this part might be a little new. Bear with me.
Church of Christ was born. Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By His blood and in His name, in His freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Praise God. Oh. Oh. We're going to go right in on the chorus because I just missed it. It's coming. What a beautiful... Nope.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. Yeah, we serve a powerful God, don't we? I think about Ukraine this morning, you know, being invaded by Russia, basically. And those people fighting for their freedom, aren't they? And God's power been praying that Kiev holds off, that they can't take it as the other nations rise up. I know Germany said they're going to send in some weapons and things, so maybe this is going to draw the nations together. Maybe it's what we need to draw nations together to kind of be in one, but hopefully it draws the church together to start praying, right, for things. I mean, who knows what could be next? Could it be Poland or somebody else? We're not sure, are we? So let's just pray that God's in control. He knows what's happening. It's not a surprise to him. Everything's in his hand. Sometimes we make choices, and we suffer those consequences. And so hopefully that Russia will have some consequence for this, that they'll kind of pull back and say maybe we tried to bite off too much, stay in our own country. But maybe it'll draw the Christians to be closer together and have more faith in the Lord through this situation. So let's just pray for their safety and for their freedom as they're undergoing an attack. So, you know, it could happen to us one day. We don't know. You know, have you ever seen that movie Red Dawn, where the Russians parachute in to all these places out west and things to start trying to take over the U.S.? It's possible. And so let's just pray for strength for them and for us and for our communities here. This LifeWise we talked about this morning, you've heard it before, but it's the opportunity for us to be involved in the community and be involved in the kids and their lives. And it's called religious education. Religious education release time or something like that, where they get released during one of their classes, which will be gym or something at a rotation, be able to go and have religious instruction. So there's forms on the table. It doesn't mean you're volunteering to do anything. It just means you want to have it in the community. You don't have to live in West Jeff, but because you go to church here, you can put your name down. If you want to go on the website yourself and sign up, you can do it. If not, fill out the sheet and just give it to me or Verna or somebody, and I'll put them on. I put on, I think, 10 or 12 last time, so we got 70 or 80 some names signed up so far. Somebody's donated $5,000 to get it started so far. So the next step is to get a steering committee. If you're interested in that, you can sign up for that. And they talk with the school system, try to work out when it's going to be, a location, things like that. So we're trying to find a location, possibility of renovating a garage maybe for the kids to be able to walk right across the street. So the best option is the kids to walk there because it's only 45 minutes. By the time you walk there and have class and walk back, that takes up your time. So busing is an option, but not the best option at this point. So I'll be praying for that ministry. You know, who's going to be the director? Who's going to be teaching it? What kids are going to sign up? They have lessons all the way from Genesis to Exodus. It's a 5-year program. And if you haven't heard it, Verna sent out an email to you. You can go watch the video of what they talked about. If you want to hear about it, it talks about the curriculum, what they're doing, what their goals are. They have certain steps you have to go through, 10 steps and all that stuff. So if you want to hear that, I think it'd be good for you to hear just to be informed so you're not just like blind sheep walking around. So you have an idea, what is this about? Do I want to get involved? Do I want to pray about it? How should I pray about it? And those kind of things. To me, it's an answer to prayers. I've been praying about getting involved in the community for a number of years now. What can we do? What can we do, God? And here it is. Question is, are we going to get involved? That's the question. And I think if we don't, we're missing an opportunity to reach the kids in West Jeff. So if you're thinking about that, praying about that, if you fill out that sheet, all it means is you want it to come to the community. It doesn't mean you're going to volunteer to do anything. So hopefully pray, but that's an option as well. So think about that and keep praying for that opportunity. It should happen hopefully by next school year. That's the hope. And it'll hopefully start at elementary. They said that because that's the easiest grade to start with. You know, high school kids don't want to hear about anything. So you got to kind of get them ready to listen to that stuff. So that's elementary, hopefully, and be involved in that. So anyway, anything else happening that's been good? I was in the mountains this week with Sam. He took me up there. Took me to the mountain. And actually, my wife and Pam went too. It was a retreat, a revival retreat, talking about revival and things like that. And so they were the singers, and we had speakers, and it was good. We got the skeet shooting, and we did a walk and some other things. So it was fun. It was a good time. And I won't say anything, Pam. I won't say anything. But it was a good time. If you want to know more, you know, just talk to Sam and Pam. They can tell you what's going on. But it was a fun time. It's called Lodestar Mountain. They have a retreat center there if you want to get away for a weekend or something. You can sign up for that, as long as you don't mind doing this for like an hour. By the time we got there, I was like, oh, man. But it was a fun time, wasn't it? You had a good time. Any praises this morning, what God's doing? Oh, this lady right in the front row again. It's on. It's on. He's not working.
Okay. Oh, wow. We had such a great time there. But what the messages were really strong messages, and one of the powerful call to revival, and the realization, you know, again, they just hit it home. Revival starts with me, and with each one of us, and they. Encouraged us to think and consider praying and fasting, and a very simple prayer and fast, but one that is powerful and that would help get ourselves right with God. And then one of the verses that was spoken to us that you guys know very well and could probably say it with me, but is, if my people, and they stress that word, if my people will pray and humble themselves, you know, praying and seeking his face and turning from our wicked ways, then he would hear from heaven, and he would forgive our sins, and he would heal our lands, and we need that healing, don't we? And we think of Ukraine, and we say, what went wrong? Well, what went wrong? God's put it in our hands for us, you know, to want our lands healed, if my people who are called by my name. So that's a powerful message, and I believe that God is going to work in something with our pastor, with our church or something, but just that will encourage us just to experience the revival that God wants for us.
Once again, I want to thank the church for the prayers for Fran. She is doing so much better this week. She's getting up and down out of bed by herself, sitting in the living room on the couch. This morning, she poured her own coffee. I offered to do it. She said, no, I want to. I want to also thank my cousin who lives in northern Michigan.
Yes.
who has called Fran every day this week and asked her if she could pray with her. So I'm so thankful for the Lord, because we could not have done it without him. Thank you.
Good. That's good news. Good news.
I'm just asking for a prayer for my knee. I know Chris said yesterday that I was healed, or last week that I was healed, but I've injured it again, and I've go on the 4th to get my MRI, and we're praying. I'm hoping and asking for prayer for nothing to be wrong, and I don't need surgery.
I'm just asking for prayer Tuesday. I don't know how many of you have seen my son. He's got a double thumb defect, and we're going on Tuesday to have the surgery, so I'm a little bundle of nerves, but God's going to see him through.
Okay. I just want to thank everyone. I just want to thank everyone for the prayers for my great niece and her transplant surgery. The surgeons said she was nothing but a miracle. Mm. You know what that is. Who did that? So I'm very thankful.
I'm glad I'm not living in Russia or Europe. Correct me if I'm wrong. Last night on TV, television on Channel 10 said that Putin was worth $100 to $200 billion. Anybody else hear that? Okay, I stand. I want to say something to you this morning that I don't know how to communicate too well, but God loves you. You're important. I don't know how to say this. We have something that Putin doesn't have. We've got time. We've got time to witness. We've got time to love people. We've got time to tell them how wonderful they are. We've got time. Let's do it.
I'd like to ask for a prayer for Donna's sister, Cheryl, who's dealing with some late-stage cancer issues.
Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for this day, that we have another day to be here, to live for you, to witness for you, to share about you. Lord, you know these requests for surgery, for cancer, for illness, for brokenness, Lord, that have been requested this morning, Lord. We give you praise for the answers that you've given for successful surgery. Thank you for those in Ukraine that are being protected, or those who are fighting for their country, that you're sustaining them, giving them strength to hold out and to hold on, and for those who are giving aid. Lord, we just pray this morning. Those people there that are fearing for their lives, those that are in danger, those that have had to move and leave and take their families out of there. Pray for us this morning, Lord, that we would be consistent and constant in prayer for those in need, not just Ukraine, but other countries, other places, even in our country here that don't know you, those who are lost, those who are fighting a battle against the enemy, spiritual battle, those who are fighting with depression, anger, and all those different things that people go through. Lord, we're humans, and we need you, Lord, to help us. We need the power of your Holy Spirit to be with us. So we ask for your power to be with us, for you to run through us, to guide and direct us, to sustain us, to give us strength, to remind us of your word, to help us, Lord, each day. We just pray to be witnesses for you, to look up when we're feeling down, to help those who are down to look up. God, we ask for strength this morning. We give you the praise for what you do and for what you're going to do. We pray for your victory to take place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Am I ready?
I come to the garden. Alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me.
For that. Got to start with a clean slate here, you know. Well, do you have a happy heart? Happy face? That's the question. Anybody ever seen the Far Side cartoons? You know what those are? Far Side cartoons? Come on, calendars and a newspaper. If people still get newspapers. You can see them online, but I was doing the message. I have a few of them that I picked out. It says, God makes the snake. He said, boy, these things are a cinch. The next one. This little piggy went to market. So this is God populating the world. And just to make things interesting, I'm going to put a few jerks in there. And then this one. First, he warms our bowl. Now he's feeding us. And you thought he wasn't friendly. He's actually putting pepper in the water to kind of prepare them. So, well, how many of you have ever had a bad day? Pretty much everybody, right? You've been upset. You've been stressed. What would you say if I could tell you could alleviate that stress for free? You know, they have pills, they have gimmicks, they have all kinds of things you can do out there. It has a promise to make you happy. There's a lot of books, self-help books. Just do this and just do that and you'll be happy. Lots of programs claim to relieve stress and help you feel better. And some of those might work, but they don't last, do they? It lasts for a time and then it's back again. Well, what I'm going to tell you today doesn't cost you anything. You can be happy and healthy. And you're going to say, how can I do that? Well, because the scripture tells us how to do that, doesn't it? It tells us how to get rid of our stress and how to be happy and joyful. Psalm 28 says, the Lord's my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. He helps me. And then the second part, my heart leaps for joy, and with my song I'll praise him. Doesn't it seem happier when you're going through the day singing a song? If it's the right song. I mean, there's some songs you don't want to sing, but sing the right song, it makes your heart lighter. You feel better. Ecclesiastes 3:12. I know that there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. Makes you feel good when you do good for somebody else, doesn't it? When you can help somebody and you can accomplish something and see something done, it makes you feel better. So God tells us to be happy and to share that happiness. There's nothing better than for people to be happy, but I'm not naive enough to think that everything's happy. We don't always have happy and joyful occasions. We have joy at good times, but we need to make the best out of every situation that we can to try to find the good in things. Well, we can fill our lives with laughter, and we can fill them with joy, but our satisfaction and happiness truly comes from knowing the Lord. It's not about things or gimmicks or cartoons or shows or movies or songs or whatever, but it goes through him. This came up. It says, no God, no happiness. No God, no happiness. Same thing they have about peace as well. But if you don't know God, it's hard to have any kind of happiness because there's no hope. Everything seems frustrating. Where's the end? What am I going to do? But at one day, we're going to be totally satisfied. No more wanting, no hurting, no anger, no stress, and no weeping. Isn't that going to be a great thing? No more morning sickness either, Jesse. No more heaving and throwing up and things like that. None of that stuff is going to happen. No more COVID, none of that. No more wars, no more fighting. Luke 6:21 tells us, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you'll be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh." Isn't that good to look forward to? You're hungry, you'll be satisfied, because I know I eat, and then 2 hours later, I'm like, I'm hungry again. Like, I just ate like 2 hours ago. And then you're weeping about something, but you'll be laughing. You won't be weeping about it anymore. Rejoice in that day, because you'll leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. So we know what's coming, don't we? We know what's ahead of us. We know what to look forward to. Like when you're going on a vacation and you look forward to this great resort or wherever you're going to, or peaceful mountain place or skiing or whatever it's going to be, you know what to look forward to, and it's even better when you get there and find out that it's even better than you expected. And we as people can't imagine what heaven's going to be like. I mean, think of the best things here, you know? I think Paul talks about it being filthy rags compared to what it's going to be, how great it's going to be. So I think God wants us to laugh. He knows laughter is good for us. Proverbs 17 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine." Joyful heart is good medicine. It makes you feel better. When you can get people to laugh, it takes the stress away. It reduces the stress level. Sometimes laughing helps when nothing else does. When you have a bad day and felt distressed or angry. But I have a little video I want to show you that might help you a little bit. Just a short one. There's no words in it. Just watch the people. About that. As I was looking around, how many people did I see smiling at that video? We don't know why the guy's laughing, but laughter is a contagious thing, isn't it? You see people laugh and you just start to smile, like, what's so funny? What's going on? What's the humor? But it's a great thing because it takes our mind off of things, allows us to share in their joy. The Bible talks about sharing in people's joy. When people have joy, we share with them, don't we? And it's good for us. You know that not all laughter is the same. There's at least the three kinds of laughter that we can have. There's laughter that when you're scared or nervous. You're not laughing because you think it's funny, but because you're uncomfortable and it kind of scares you. So we're not talking about that. There's a laughter because somebody's laughing at you. Right? We're not talking about that, where they're making fun of you or laughing at you. Somebody's laughing at you. We're not talking about that. We're laughing about something that's humorous or funny, entertainable. Oh, I just made up a new word, entertainable. Entertaining or fun. And you can laugh at something you saw or something you heard. But did you ever have one of those laughs where you're just laughing so hard that you just can't stop and eyes start watering, you about crying? Those are the laughs that you're like, oh man, you got to stop. I can't take any more of this. Those are the laughs you really enjoy, really have a great time with. Seems for me I don't laugh enough though. Need to laugh more often to kind of relieve things because life isn't that serious. We take it so serious sometimes. It's not that serious. We know how it's going to end. No matter what happens, we know what the end is. We win. We're going to be with the Lord in heaven. No matter what happens, we know what the end is going to be. But it's interesting. I read an article by Melinda Smith and Gene Siegel where they said laughter is infectious. We saw that this morning, didn't we? If you could be up here, you could see everybody's face. They started smiling, and some people started laughing when that guy was just, he didn't say a word, did he? He just was laughing. We don't even know why he was laughing, but he's laughing, and the people on the train, or I think it was a train, they all started laughing, looking at each other and laughing. But sometimes it begins with a smile and works its way out, doesn't it? First you kind of smile, then it works its way out. But it tends to break down walls that people put up. Just walk down the street and smile at somebody someday. They're going to either think that's kind of cool, or they're going to think, do you know something I don't know, or what's going on? Usually when your kids come in with a smile on their face, you're thinking, okay, what do you want? Or what did you do? Something happened. But it'll brighten their day. But they're saying that roaring laughter is more contagious than a cough, a sniffle, or a sneeze. So when somebody's roaring in laughter, it's even more contagious. And it kind of binds people together. It increases your happiness and intimacy, and also triggers healthy physical changes. So it's good for your body. Strengthens your immune system, your energy level, diminishes pain. Best of all, it's free and easy, isn't it? Doesn't cost a thing. So here are some things that you may not know. Laughter relaxes the whole body. A good hearty laugh relieves physical stress and tension, leaves your muscles relaxed for up to 45 minutes. Did you know that? So how can you tell when somebody's laughed too much? And they're laying on the floor and they can't get up. Because their muscles are so relaxed they can't move. I've never seen it, but it might be interesting someday. Laughter boosts the immune system. It decreases stress hormones and increases immune cells and infection-fighting antibodies, thus improving your resistance to disease, which I think it's a good idea when they bring, like, dogs and stuff into hospitals for people to relax and do like that. They bring people that, you know, do juggling and jokes and all kinds of stuff to relieve the person's mind from what they're thinking about. It kind of takes your mind off, even for a while, of what you're going through. Even in a bad situation, if you can find something funny and laugh and talk with a person to get your mind off things, it takes that stress away, and you're not so worried about it. Triggers the release of endorphins, the body's natural good chemicals. Endorphins promote an overall sense of well-being and can even temporarily relieve pain. So sometimes you laugh so much you forget something else hurts, right? Protects the heart. It improves the function of blood vessels and increases blood flow, which can help protect against heart attack, cardiovascular problems. So do you have a happy heart? If you do, you probably have a healthy one. Well, remember the guy in the Bible named Job? He lost all his possessions, his family, and all those things in one day. If anybody had reason to be angry and sad and stressed, it would have been him, wouldn't it? Job 8:21, he says, "Yet he, which is God, will fill my mouth with laughter, lips with shouting." So he's going to laugh again, isn't he? He's going to shout someday. The bad times don't always last forever. Sometimes it seems like it's going to last forever. They don't always last forever. There's something good you can hopefully find in something. So even through his trials, he was going to have laughter and shouting. But God knows we have stress. He knows we have troubles. And I think he gave us laughter to help relieve those things. Sometimes medication doesn't do it. But sometimes being with friends or family can take away that pain or help it to be easier. It can also help us stay emotionally healthy because it makes us feel good. And humor makes you more positive and optimistic in difficult situations and disappointments and in loss. So it's more than just a respite from sadness, but laughter gives you courage and strength to find a new source of hope, even in difficult times. A laugh and a smile can go a long way. But laughing and jokes around, they have social benefits, don't they? You ever been in a place and somebody tells a joke or laughs? Been around Pam and Sam very much? You are, you know they like to joke and laugh. There's always a comment. Whatever thing's made, I don't know what it is, there's always a little quip that comes because Pam's like waiting for it. Okay, you got that one. She did one of her own the other day. I can't remember what it was, but she had one of them herself. What was that one you used the other day? She did something. Sam said something, and she came back with one. She goes, "Yes, I finally got one." So she got one back of her own. But laughing with others is more powerful than laughing by yourself. More fun to laugh in a group when you're all laughing instead of at home by yourself just laughing. Because you look around like, oh, just I'm the only one laughing. Sometimes it's good to laugh at yourself, too, when you do something funny. I was thinking years ago when I was at the gas station, I was in high school. I was getting out of my LTD. It's a big, huge car. I stopped at the gas pump, and when I put my foot out of the car, I fell. You ever do that? I put my foot out, and I slipped, and I fell on the driveway thing out there. First thing I did was look around, see if anybody saw me. And then you kind of laughed at yourself, like that was kind of a funny thing. So sometimes it's good to laugh at yourself. What? Couldn't hear that. I don't know what she said. So how can we laugh more? First thing you can do is create opportunities. Create opportunities to laugh. That would mean watching a funny movie or a show, read the comics. You used to call them the funny pages, right? I don't know if they still do, but comics. Seek out people who are funny. So call Sam and Pam up on the phone, and they'll give you a funny little thing that you're going to say. Check out a book. Host a game night with friends. Play with your pet. Goof around with your kids or somebody else's kids. Do something silly. Make time for fun activities like bowling, miniature golf, and karaoke. We did bowling yesterday. It was an experience. My son and I were trying to bowl, and the first time it stuck in my thumb and popped off. Then I tried not using my thumb, and that didn't go too well. And then he was trying to hold it without using his fingers, and he threw it in the gutter. So we were having all kinds of trouble. I think we didn't even break 100. My wife was a high score. She got 100 and something. But we didn't even get past 100 because the balls were all out of whack. So if you would have watched us, you'd be laughing because they were like flying. My son's girlfriend threw it probably 8 feet down the alley a couple times. So we had all kinds of issues with our thing. We had a fun time, though. Laughter can heal resentments and disagreements and hurts. And it can unite people. If you've had an agreement, sometimes you just kind of laugh and then you can get over it. So it can improve your relationships and help you connect with coworkers and friends. But we don't laugh at the expense of others, right? You don't laugh at somebody like, oh, look at the stupid thing you did. You can laugh because it was funny if they're laughing, but don't always point out that it was bad because it's not something they're enjoying. If people aren't both enjoying it, it's not really fun, is it? If somebody else is taking the brunt of that. Sometimes we say cutting remarks, don't we? And that person may take that seriously. I like to joke around a lot, but you got to watch what you're saying because look at their face. If you said something they don't think it's funny, then maybe it's not funny. Maybe it's at their expense. It gets our focus off us and helps us to get away from our troubles. It helps us forget judgments and criticisms. We need to get happy. I have another little video on here. Go, Carol. Keep going. Yep. Just click it, it'll play.
Okay. What does Y-E-S spell?
Yes.
What does E-Y-E-S spell?
Yes.
What does E-Y-E-S spell?
E-S. What is happening?
What does Y-E-S spell?
Yes.
What does E-Y-E-S spell?
E-S. What are you crying for? What are you doing?
Okay, try again. What does Y-E-S spell?
Yes.
What does E-Y-E-S spell?
E's? A-S? You're making me...
I can't breathe. Okay.
E-Y-E-S. E-S.
Say it again. What does E-Y-E-S spell?
Yes. What? You're making me cry. What?
E-Y-E-S.
E-Y-E. Eyes.
Hey, babe. Hey, baby. I got one for you. Okay. Perfect, because I got a book joke for you. Hey, can you name the book that has made the most impact on my life?
The Bible?
No, your checkbook.
That's a good one.
I don't know if you could hear that one or not.
Go to the park.
She's following him around in the library, saying, you know, the book that had the most impact on my life, and he said, the Bible. She said, no, your checkbook. And he said, get out of here, just go away. Proverbs 15:13 says, a happy heart makes a cheerful face. It does, doesn't it? If a person's happy, you can tell they're smiling. I was telling my wife the other day, she's going to be like, she always looks like she's smiling all the time. Because we had this lady we were talking about, that looked like she was grumpy. And I'm like, why is she so grumpy? And I said, you look like you're smiling all the time. Even when you're sitting there, she's always smiling. I mean, I don't look that way. I mean, she always looks like she's smiling no matter what. You want a happy and cheerful heart. Count your blessings. Think of all the great things that God has done for you, the blessings in your life, where you could be, what happened, all those situations that we have are blessings, especially now. When you hear someone laughing, ask them, you know, what's so funny? Try to find out what's going on. Try to get in the laugh. Take things a little less seriously. Sometimes we take things so seriously, we're tight-jawed. I'm not unhappy. Fine. You ask somebody how they're doing, they tell you they're great, and you know they're lying. Because they're sad or something's happening, but you can help them to get out of that, right? By talking to them, sharing with them. Surround yourself with reminders to lighten up. Put up a funny poster in your office. Choose a computer screensaver that makes you laugh. Put up your family photos and things like that so you can see something around you. Pick a funny family photo if you need to. Keep things in perspective. A lot of things are beyond our control, right? But we can choose to laugh or not to laugh. Romans 12:15, when others are happy, be happy with them. Don't be jealous. Sometimes we get jealous, don't we, of people? Because how come they're so happy? How come they're so enjoyable? I'm having a horrible day. You ever do that? Stop laughing. Quit laughing at that. That wasn't funny. I didn't think it was funny at all. We want people to have, make time to play. The ability to play and laugh and have fun with others makes life more enjoyable. And helps you solve problems, to connect with people and be more creative. So those who incorporate humor in their daily lives have better relationships. Life brings challenges that can either get the best of you or you can get the best of them. Right? You can get the best of your challenges or they can get the best of you. You need to have the attitude, you're not going to get the best of me. Depression's not going to get the best of me. Anger's not going to get the best of me. Jealousy is not going to get the best of me. I had two people's stories that I had this week. Said, Roy is a semi-retired businessman who is excited to finally have time to devote to golf, which is his favorite sport. But the more he played, the less he enjoyed himself. Although his game had improved dramatically, he got angry with himself every time he made a mistake. He finally realized that his golfing buddies were affecting his attitude. They were too serious. So he stopped playing golf with those guys. And when he did and found a different group, he was less critical of himself, he enjoyed golf more, and he scored better. He had a better outlook on life and work, and he was happier all around. Do we sometimes stay in a position where we're not happy? And it makes us not comfortable, we don't like it, but we stay in it, and we wonder why we're depressed or why we're having a bad time? The second one is a lady named Jane who worked at home designing greeting cards. She used to love her job, but it became routine. There were two little girls next door who loved to draw and paint, and she eventually invited them to come over to her house and play with her supplies. And as they were playing with her supplies, she joined in. She started painting and playing and pretending with the girls, and she found out not only did it end her loneliness, but it got rid of her boredom, and it refreshed her. She had a spark again. She enjoyed things. You ever play with little kids and see how they, and you start playing around and you're on the ground playing trucks and cars and whatever. And then you find out you have a new joy, a new appreciation for kids that see things in a happy way that adults don't. You imagine with their parents, you want to play trucks? And they'd be like, what? Get away from me. But then the three-year-old, do you want to play trucks? Yeah, and then you play. You get a new appreciation for what joy is in the simple things. You don't need all the things to be happy. You just need to choose to be happy. Sometimes you need to get out of our routine and let God put us in a new routine. The message in Psalm 126 says, and now God, do it again. Bring the rains to our drought-stricken lives So those who planted their crops in despair will shout hurrahs at the harvest. So those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing with armloads of blessings. Isn't that nice when you come home with armloads of blessings? I'm not talking about from Kroger or Walmart. I'm talking about from being blessed by other people being around you. He wants us to laugh and be happy and come home with armloads of blessings. Bad times can come, but they won't last. Laughing's contagious and good for our health. I have a little video that Dan may have to turn up a little bit because it's, I'll tell you what it is ahead of time. The guy and the girl in the car, and she asks him a knock-knock joke, so we'll see if you can hear what she says.
Hey, dear.
What's up?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
A little old lady.
A little old lady who?
All this time, I never knew you could yodel.
Did you hear what he said? She said, knock, knock, D. He said, who's there? Little old lady. He said, little old lady who? She said, I didn't know you could yodel after all this time. That one just cracked me up. I thought you had to at least have that at the end. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, that you give us laughter to help us through hard times, difficult times, through pain, through suffering, through poor relationships. But you use laughter as a way of mending, laughter as a way of healing, laughter as a way of lifting us up. And Father, we just praise you for what you've done, and thank you for giving us that joy. Help us to carry that through, I pray, even today from here on out. In your name, amen.
I just want to sing this last chorus of Give Me Jesus. If you guys want to stand with me. Thank you for this word today. As we came in heavy, and we can have your joy and your peace and your happiness, and I just pray that we would press into that this week, that we would find those moments and those people to brighten our days, that we could be joyful and healthy and happy in your presence. We thank you for your gifts and your beautiful son's name. Amen.